Welcome to What the Fantasy. This is episode 28, and I am Brandon Hay at Hay B3. I have another special guest with me today, Brandon Blanco from IDP Guys. We work together there. You can find him on Twitter at MBF_CLO. So, Brandon, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, bro. My second official podcast guest in the fantasy community, so just trying to keep it going.
Oh, yeah, nice. So, yeah, before we start, just tell us, like, what all you're working on and, you know, where everyone can find you.
I mean, as of right now, I'm going through, like, it's not even a little writer's block. It is my birthday week, so I'm kind of just relaxing right now because I'm leaving Orlando on Friday. But, yeah, I do most of my writing on idpguys.org, and then I also contribute for FanSided on NFL Spin Zone and also Sir Charles in Charge, where I do my basketball writing. But as of right now, I'm just kind of slowing it down right now for my writing. I'm not trying to, like, you know, just put out not pointless articles, but articles that people are going to forget about in 2-3 months. So, yeah, just really that's where I do most of my writing, and I'll probably get back to it when I get back from Orlando, especially with the NBA playoffs. There's so many storylines. The NFL draft is literally the week after, so I'm kind of just saving it for that coming time.
Definitely. Yeah, you've been writing a lot of good articles, and it's been getting a lot of good views, you know. So very engaging articles about, you know, the offseason and everything. And, you know, I think that you've been doing really great work. So I just wanted to tell you that.
And I'm trying to, like, I feel like the type of writer I am, I'm trying to reach out to the average fantasy football person. Because at the end of the day, I can name thousands of people that know more about fantasy, know more about numbers than me. But I'm not trying to reach out to them because I'm trying to learn from them. I'm trying to reach out to the small fish that literally just play fantasy for fantasy. And if I could help them win money, win their league, win bragging rights over family, like, bro, then I did my job. Just trying to help people.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the biggest thing with people in the community. Sometimes they don't see that part. Just, you know, we're not necessarily just looking at the experienced players. The players that, you know, maybe just, you know, take the whole offseason off and then just start, you know, back up. Mm-hmm. So they don't hear all the NFL news. So I think that's, like, a really good point, you know, of what you're trying to reach out to.
And it's fantasy at the end of the day. Like, everybody is going to have their lane. Everybody's going to have those people that gravitate towards them. And if they don't, there's always room for you. It's fantasy at the end of the day. I could not, none of this could happen. Like, I said Jonathan Taylor was the RB1 last year, and that's just because Derrick Henry got hurt. It's fantasy at the end of the day, and people got to remember that.
Definitely. So, speaking of fantasy, so how long have you been playing fantasy, and who is your favorite NFL team? That's, like, questions we ask all of our guests.
Favorite NFL team, I'm a Packers fan. Unfortunately, it's been kind of rough the past 2-3 years. Take Jordan Love instead of T. Higgins and Michael Pittman. That has done absolutely nothing. We lose Devontae this offseason. But, you know, I have hope and I have faith. That's why my name is Chloe Rogers. In my podcast, for my own podcast, my intro, I say I'm the son of Aaron Rodgers. He's my favorite player ever. With him as the quarterback, I still have hope for the Packers. But it's kind of looking a little gloomy. You know, the Bears are getting better. The Vikings have that offensive guru from the Rams. Kirk Cousins is going to go crazy. Justin Jefferson is going to go crazy this year. But playing fantasy, I've been playing fantasy probably since my sophomore year of high school. I'm 26 right now, turned 27 on Sunday. So a little over 10 years I've been playing fantasy football. But probably this past season was my first full year in the fantasy community and actually taking it seriously. Because I graduated from FIU with a communications major. I want to enter the sports industry, but I was just trying to find my path. And what better path than fantasy? Because literally, I live, breathe, I could do drafts every single day, no matter what. It's just fantasy is just fun to me. I always say it brings people together, and it really does.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I've been doing it for about a year also. Started, I think, last February. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's same with my thinking. You know, I love football, especially fantasy. I like, you know, talk about fantasy, you know, so I figured why not, like, get paid a little bit for just, you know, putting my thoughts on paper and everything. Yeah, like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, how long have you been playing Dynasty? I'm guessing you play Dynasty too.
To be honest, my first time playing Dynasty was last year. I was in, if I'm not mistaken, I joined 3 leagues last year. Two of them, I believe I finished in 3rd place. The other one, this is me just trying to draft. I tweet if anybody has any dynasty leagues because of this. I'm trying to enter my first one. This guy, his Twitter name is Giants UK. He's been missing for like over a year now. He hit me up. blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, we're going to have a league, 12 teams, this and that. So all of us are thinking, okay, this is cool, this and that. It's $50 buy-in. But since he's in Europe, I send him like 62, 63 because of obviously Euros. That team was disgusting. I had Jalen Hurts, Najee Harris, Dalvin Cook. Long story short, that was my first very dynasty league. I win the championship. He scammed us all because he owed a bunch of people money. Lesson learned. It is what it is. Use league safe from now on, but it's all good. I'm not even mad about the money. I'm just happy that I won my first dynasty league because I always like, it's not even being cocky. It's just like when it comes to fantasy, it's just like, I don't know. I'm just good at it. Even though like anybody could be good at fantasy. Same thing with fantasy basketball. Like, I don't know. Just fantasy is just, it gravitates towards me. But yeah, that was my first official year in dynasty. And now I believe I'm in 11 dynasty leagues.
Okay. So,
yeah, I'm kind of fully cracked out right now.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, that sucks for that. I've experienced that too. I actually experienced that with someone that like I considered a friend a few years ago, and then he just ghosted a bunch of us. I won the championship in that. He used to like hang out with us every weekend, and then he just like disappeared. So I know that sucks, but yeah, that's why I always use Lead Safe now. Let's just this wasn't necessarily on the show sheet, but since you're a Packers fan, what so do you think? I just really kind of wonder what they're going to do. I'm guessing they're going to draft a couple of receivers. Do you think they're going to run the ball more, even though they have Aaron Rodgers? What do you think the Packers are going to kind of do going into the season? Or do you think it's just going to be just as usual and just Aaron Rodgers will make it work with whatever receivers they have?
My team surprises me so much. I wouldn't even be surprised if we don't take any receivers because that's the Packer way. Don't get Aaron help, even though we signed him to this massive deal for a reason. I would not like, Traylon Burks, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Drake London, somebody, Chris Watson, Sky Moore, somebody is going to be there and we need them because at the end of the day, even if they're a rookie, it's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has the LeBron effect, has that effect like a lot of superstar athletes have where they make those players better around them. So I'm really hoping and praying that we get one. I think Aaron Jones is going to have a big year. I don't think he's going to be running the ball as much as A.J. Dillon, but Aaron Jones is a phenomenal pass catcher. He's kind of underrated. I don't think he's up there with the Austin Ecklers, but he's right behind them. I wouldn't be surprised if he sees a career high in targets this year. And they're going to have to rely on him because he's literally – the most seasoned guy out there on our team besides Alan Lazard, and he hasn't been able to show himself. But hopefully this is the year. That's a 6'5", 220 guy, you know. So I really do have hope. As I said when you introduced me, as long as number 12 is back there, I have full confidence in the Packers to even make the playoffs and then, you know, probably choke, as we always do, in the divisional round or the NFC championship game because that's just the Packer way. It's frustrating, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to be a fan of any other team.
No, definitely. I have no ill will towards the Packers, but do you think Aaron, you know, even though Aaron Rodgers has that one Super Bowl, do you think he's always going to be remembered as those for all those playoff, you know, what he could have done, you know, losing it when they've had those high seeds?
I mean, as of now, that he is one of the, if I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, when it comes to just the talent wise, I think him and Peyton are the best quarterbacks I've ever seen, but his Super Bowl win was 10 years ago, 11 years ago, because it was in 2011. Nobody remembers that. The Packers fans, of course, are going to remember that. I'm going to remember that, but nobody remembers that. They remember the four NFC championships you've gone since then. You lost to Seattle, you lost to Atlanta, you lost to San Fran, and I'm forgetting that other team, but it's just L after L, and you're going great in the regular season. You just won back-to-back MVPs to what? To lose to... again in the divisional round or in the NFC championship game to San Fran, to Jimmy G, when Aaron Rodgers on your worst day, you're better than Jimmy G, but yet somehow the San Francisco 49ers continue to beat you. And it, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't even think they scored an offensive touchdown this past season and they still beat us. So it's just like, at this point, I don't go in with any expectations. After the when Raheem Mostert destroyed us in the NFC championship game, I stopped having expectations for the Packers. I just know we're going to be great in the regular season and then come into the playoffs, something is going to go wrong just because it just goes wrong. We just have terrible luck. There's those teams out there that just have terrible luck year after year. Look at the Bills. Josh Allen couldn't even get a chance to score against Patrick Mahomes. And now look, they finally changed the playoff rule. But there's just those teams that have bad luck. And the Green Bay Packers, they're one of those teams. They just have bad luck year after year. No matter what they do in the regular season, 13-3, 13-4, it doesn't matter. Boom. Come playoff time, something goes wrong. Guys aren't catching. Aaron Rodgers is not performing well, even though it's Aaron Rodgers. It makes no sense to me. That's why I just don't go with any expectations to not be disappointed.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be interesting what they do. I'm going to the draft. And I mean, I saw that they signed Sammy Watkins, so he'll be good for like two games early in the season.
Week one, 38 points.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, like I think a couple years ago, when he played the Jets that first week, he had three touchdowns. He only scored like one more touchdown the rest of the season. So yeah, Sammy Watkins, I thought he was gonna be really good coming into the NFL, and he's shown flashes, but he can't stay healthy or for whatever reason. Healthy.
Clemson produces straight studs out there. Martavis Bryant, all these boys, and it's just they just couldn't pan out. Sucks.
Yeah. So we'll see with that. I would love one of those, you know, rookies to get paired with Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see if they finally buck the trend and get, you know, start drafting a receiver or something. So that will be interesting. So now to talk about one of the, you know, teams in the division, the Chicago Bears. I'm a big Justin Fields fan, even though he went to Ohio State and I'm a Michigan fan. I think he's really good. And I just worry that they're not giving him very much help as of now. I'm a big Darnell Mooney fan, you know, and I think I think he and Fields could be kind of like Tyler Lockett and Russell Wilson. They have that same type of chemistry, and Fields kind of throws those deep kind of rainbow throws. But they lost A-Rob, which he was kind of checked out last year. They only brought in Byron Pringle and Equanimeous St. Brown. So what are your thoughts on Fields and the Bears, you know, with them not really having brought in too many weapons to help him so far?
I mean, the one thing with me when it comes to sports, I'm never going to be biased. I know I'm a Packers fan, but I'm going to speak highly of the Bears. I just traded Kyler Murray for Justin Fields and a 2023 first, I believe, 2 days ago. Then I proceeded to trade Mike Williams for Darnell Mooney because I needed that stack. And I also already drafted Cole Kmet. This was all done in my home Dynasty League. We finally started a Dynasty League. But yeah, Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney, they're going to the moon this season. Darnell Mooney has gone from 61 receptions to 81 receptions to 98 targets to 140 targets, which ranked him number 11th. I believe he was number 11th in target share. He had more targets than people of Ja'Marr Chase, even though Ja'Marr Chase doesn't need that many targets to go crazy. He had more targets than DK Metcalf. He had more targets than Jalen Waddle, than Travis Kelce. Darnell Mooney, the proof is there, and it's like the writing is there. If they don't go a receiver in the draft, even if they go a receiver in the draft, that's going to be a big body guy like a Pickens, like a Watson. Darnell Mooney is kind of a, you know, he's a smaller receiver at 5'10", 5'11". And the production's there. He's built that connection with Justin Fields. Even if they take a receiver, you think Fields is going to pick those guys over Darnell Mooney, who he spent a whole season with building that connection with? I have high hopes for Mooney. There's a reason I traded for him. There's a reason I traded for Justin Fields when you got Kyler Murray, who was the number one pick, who has proven himself to be a top five dynasty quarterback. I'm high on Fields, especially with that rushing side, especially being 6'3 compared to Kyler's 5'10". And then Cole Kmet. I think everybody saw that picture. It's Justin Fields standing next to Cole Kmet. He looks like the giant from Game of Thrones, if anyone's seen Game of Thrones. Cole Kmet to the moon this season. I can't wait for that Bears offense. Even if it's, you know, even if they're losing games, even if they're playing from behind, that's not a bad thing, because Darnell Mooney's going to see those targets. Cole Kmet's going to see those targets. And like you said, with the Brian Pringles and the St. Brown's brother, there's nobody else on that roster. David Montgomery is there, Justin Fields, Cole Kmet, Darnell Mooney. Those are the playmakers. Those are the guys you need on the Bears offense. So, yeah, am I going to say the Bears are going to win the division? Are they going to win 10 games, make the playoffs? I don't really know. Division, out of question. But the playoffs, you never know. You don't know what Justin Fields is going to do. He might have the Lamar Jackson type of season. Full first year starting, boom. I'm not saying he's going to win MVP, but it was him and Trevor for the past 2 years in Ohio State and Clemson. And then Justin Fields all of a sudden starts dropping. He's that good. He's that lethal. I'm buying Justin Fields everywhere.
No, I definitely agree. I would have liked them to get more of an offensive coach, but, you know, I'm hoping that they have a plan, you know, offensively. And like you said, I hope Kmet, I think Kmet's definitely getting slept on a little bit, especially in the community. I think he could definitely be a back end tight end once, you know, like probably like tight end 7 to 10 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think they don't have a first-round pick because they traded that away, but they have a second, you know, pick 39. I would love if George Pickens kind of, you know, stayed around there and get him. because you're right, they need that big body guy, and that would be perfect opposite Mooney. And then, you know, with Pickens coming off that injury and not really producing a lot at Georgia, that would let him kind of just slowly get acclimated to the, you know, NFL and not have to be like the go-to guy. So I really like that too. And even if they waited, they could get another big-bodied receiver, maybe even third or fourth round, someone like Justin Ross that has a lot of potential, you know, but has dealt with injuries too. So it'll be very interesting. But, yeah, I hope they unleash Fields, let him be able to run the ball more, do some more read options. They got Montgomery. I'm a big Khalil Herbert fan too. I hope they keep him involved. I think they could have a good 1-2 punch with those running backs.
He was very decent when Monty went out last year too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that both of those should be good. So, yeah, I think people are kind of down on Fields, but I think he could surprise some people. And he had some moments last year. I think the Bears' offense with Nagy was just not, you know, not flowing and not very well. And they didn't use him to the best of his abilities. So, yeah, I'm definitely hoping Fields can going forward, definitely stock up, and we'll kind of talk about the second-year quarterbacks at the end of the show. But, yeah, I definitely agree. Fields is very talented. He just needs to maybe get rid of the ball a little quicker sometimes. But he definitely has, you know, that scrambling ability. He showed that in some games last year.
I think he had over 400 rushing yards, too. And it's like, if Jalen Hurts is getting that opportunity, I think Justin Fields could get that opportunity. He's a better thrower, probably just as good as a runner. And then looking at Cole Kmet, just on player profile, 8th in targets among tight ends, 11th in target share, air yards 9th, air yard share 11th. Like, this is the year. 0 touchdowns this past season. He's improved from 28 receptions to 60 receptions, 44 targets from his rookie year to all the way to 93 targets. He's built that connection. As we all know, those young quarterbacks always look at those tight ends as security blankets. So, yeah, I'm really high on the Bears this year, just fantasy-wise. Like, I just can't wait to see how they are. I really can't.
Yeah, definitely. I think they should be improved on offense. And what you're saying about Kmet, I could definitely see him being a red zone target. You know, I could see him getting, you know, at least, you know, 5 to 6 touchdowns, which would definitely raise his value because, as you said, he's getting those targets. So next we'll talk about an article that you published not too long ago about you're selling a high on recent free agent signings. So I just want to kind of talk about some of those. So first, Amari Cooper. So let me just get your thoughts on Amari Cooper and why you would want to sell high on him.
I mean, the thing with Amari Cooper, he's an Alabama product, so people are always going to be high on him. He sees over 100 targets every single year besides his third year in the NFL. But I just think he's somewhat hype. Like, you're a proven veteran, and you just basically lost your wide receiver one spot to CeeDee Lamb. So you got shipped to Cleveland. Why I say sell high on Amari Cooper is because all of the Browns receivers combined don't even have as much as career receptions as Amari Cooper does. Deshaun Watson, he's going to have to be looking at Amari Cooper. Besides Amari Cooper, I would say Njoku and Harrison Bryant are going to be the guys to look at in Cleveland. But that's why I say sell high to Amari Cooper. And I think he's entered that tier of the Mike Evans and these high veteran receivers where I feel like you could add one of those guys and a pick, and you could go get one of those young guys. Go get a T. Higgins. Go get a Jalen Waddle. Go get one of these guys, because there's always going to be people in your dynasty leagues trying to win a championship every single year. I know a guy in one of my leagues, he doesn't have any picks till 2025. Because he builds his, he's trying to build his, he's trying to win every single year. And there's always going to be guys like those. You could easily go get a first round pick for Mike Evans, for Amari Cooper, especially when Watson comes back. Even if Watson doesn't come back, he is the most experienced receiver on that Browns team. There's nobody else. And correct me if I'm wrong, do they even have any first round picks or any picks they even spend on a receiver this upcoming season? It's clear to see they put it all in on Deshaun Watson. And though the weapons there around him, they released Jarvis Landry. So it's kind of like, it's wide receiver one, Amari Cooper, and then Harrison Bryant, Njoku, Peoples Jones, and I'm not even going to try to guess these other guys' names to not disrespect them. But yeah, that's why I'm saying sell high on Amari Cooper. There's those guys in your leagues that are trying to win right now, and he's the only proven receiver on that Browns roster. So it's kind of good to see. It's kind of good to, you know, probably put it in that league chat, try to get a trade for him, maybe even a first round pick. Even if it's a first-round pick, that 2023 draft, I'm not a Devy guy. I don't pay attention to college like that. But what I see from this what everybody tweets about is like 2023, that's the year. You need all the picks. Get all the picks you can. So if you could trade a 27-year-old, about to be 20-year-old Amari Cooper, why not?
Yeah, I get like all those points. Out of these three, this is the one I probably wouldn't sell necessarily because I'm very high on Amari Cooper, mainly because they got Deshaun Watson, and we've seen what Deshaun Watson did with DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not saying Cooper is DeAndre Hopkins, but
Yeah,
he
for sure.
could force feed him, and I just think I actually moved Amari Cooper up pretty high just because of the Deshaun Watson trade. And it doesn't look like Watson will like miss like a full season or anything. I mean, at least from what I'm hearing, it's probably going to be a few games.
Yeah,
But
like
I just.
giving he's probably gonna get super, as you can see, like the NFL really doesn't care about what these players do to like w women and stuff. Like he might get suspended 4 games, maybe five
Yeah,
games, and then
I was thinking 4 games, and I just I might eventually sell Mark Cooper, but I'd probably keep him for this year and say like he has like this giant year with Deshaun, and you could probably even get more. But for right now, I'm keeping him because I think he still's got 2 to 3, could be elite years with Deshaun Watson. And being that he's the only wide receiver, I would actually keep him. But I get what you're saying and getting in those 2023 pick on top of that receiver. I get that too, especially if it's someone like Mike Evans plus that. First, I could see that. But for right now, in my opinion, I would just keep him because I could see Deshaun Watson like elevating. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could elevate Amari Cooper to a top five season, if he plays most of the season.
Oh no, it's very possible. And if they don't draft another, if it's very possible that Amari Cooper could be a wide receiver one this upcoming season. Like it's right there. Like I said, there's nobody else on that roster unless they draft some guy and he goes crazy, which there's no Chase or Jefferson in this draft class. Amari Cooper, it's there. He could for sure produce. I just personally never, like, I never bought the hype, but he is that good. He's an Alabama product. Every single Alabama receiver has hit. And it's not like he's no scrub. It's just I feel like how good he was coming out of Alabama and where he got drafted and stuff, I feel like he could be even better. You get me?
No, I agree. I agree. I guess I'm just thinking maybe I'm just from what Watson did with DeAndre Hopkins, because they didn't, they had Will Fuller when he wasn't hurt, but it was kind of like the one wide receiver. And, even though I don't think he's as good as DeAndre Hopkins, I think that could be a big, have a big season. But let's move on to the next one, which I totally agree on. A-Rob going to the Rams. People are already hyping him up because he's going to that Rams system and everything. So before he, I think A-Rob still has something in the tank, but we don't know. Like we don't really know how he's going to fit in, on that team and everything. So yeah, I would before he even plays it down for the Rams, I would get whatever I could for A-Rob. So just kind of expand on, what you think about A-Rob.
I think the Rams are probably going to be the team to have two receivers finish as wide receiver ones. My hot take a while ago, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, both top five receivers. We'll see how that happens. It is the year of the Tiger, so I'm just going to throw that out there. But yeah, Allen Robinson, this is the best quarterback he's played with since shit, probably since he was a little kid playing the Optimus football. He's played with Blake Bortles, he's played with Nick Foles, both have wide receiver ones those years. And now he's playing with Matthew Stafford, one of the most underrated quarterbacks since he's came into the NFL. He's playing in a system where Robert Woods, before he tore his ACL, was wide receiver 12, I believe. So I personally think Robinson's better than Woods as a receiver. So if Robert Woods could do that, I firmly believe that Allen Robinson could do that, especially when you got Mr. Little Cooper Kupp over there taking all the attention. And at the end of the day, Sean McVay is still the head coach. I trust him fully when it comes to running an offense, designing these type of plays to get his guys open. And like I said, I'm going to change after the 195 target year Cooper Kupp had. There's going to be so much eyes on him. That for sure. Allen Robinson, I just personally, like I said, you can sell this, especially on being on this type of offense in the Rams. There's someone out there in your league that will literally ship you so much for Allen Robinson. He's 28 years old. He probably has like a good 2, 3 years. I feel like the Rams, the Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson combo is going to be the combo that like Matthew Stafford finishes his career with, in my opinion. So that's why I feel like you could, if you want, if you're trying to win and you're trying to become competitive in your dynasty leagues for 3, 4 plus years, you should go trade for Allen Robinson. I think he's going to be around. He did sign a 3-year deal, and I don't think he's done at all. I think he just mentally checked out last year in Chicago. You see, there's a Twitter video that was streaming around for a while that he just upfield blocked. He just, nah, I'm not blocking. I'm good. You could go tackle my guy. I'm okay. He just checked out. It's not like he can't play or he's hurt. He just like, bro, You guys obviously don't want me here. You're not even passing me the ball. I'm better than Darnell Mooney. I'm better than everyone on this team. But so it's all good. So I'm going to mentally check out. So I'm going to finish as the wide receiver 80. Allen Robinson, he's going to have a big bounce back this year.
So, you know, speaking of selling high, so what would you be looking for to ship out Allen Robinson? What would
for
you
me,
be
when it comes to these old, when it comes to these, not even old guys, because like, shit, they're probably, they're our age, but I'm going to always try to find one of these young receivers. If I can ship out an Allen Robinson for a DJ Moore, I do not care that DJ Moore does not have a quarterback. He has the fifth most receiving yards since he came into the NFL with no quarterback, with the Cam Newton, who Cam Newton's great, but he's not that good of a quarterback. He has a noodle arm. He's always had a noodle arm. He's just a big body guy. But yeah, DJ Moore with the Kyle Allens and the PJ Walkers and Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was the QB4 after a month, and DJ Moore was the QB, I mean, the wide receiver 4. DJ Moore is that lethal, and I feel like, especially with that situation going on, I have no idea who the quarterback is for the Panthers at the moment. So you can go make an Allen Robinson. It's listed. He has Matthew Stafford. He has this type of offense. It's not going anywhere. So you can for sure ship him out for a DJ Moore. That's what I would be trying to do. Or I'd be, if I can't get one of these low-key young guys like a Jalen Waddle, an Elijah Moore, all these guys that are outside the wide receiver one tier in fantasy pros, I would try to go get them. And if not, I'll try to go get some first-round picks for next year.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I would even try to maybe get someone that's maybe not that good young. You know, I'm trying to think of someone that you could get and then get a first on top of that. So, but I definitely agree on that, going younger. And someone that's trying to win will probably do that as well. So I agree on that. And then the last one in the article was Juju, you know, with the Chiefs now, especially since they traded Tyreek. I know everyone thinks, you know, Juju's going to have like 130 targets and everything. So kind of talk about, you know, what you would be looking for with Juju and what kind of season you think Juju will have.
I was high on Juju after he had that year with Antonio Brown. I'm still high on Juju. He's only 25. He's one of my favorite players, especially I guess you could be somewhat biased. Like I drafted him that year in my just a regular redraft league. So I have high hopes for him. And Mecole Hardman, that's a hype train. Anybody else that's on the Chiefs besides number 87 is a hype train. As you can see, every single year, they don't do absolutely anything. So I'm not saying Juju's going to step into that Tyreek role, especially the Chiefs having two first-round picks. They're not the Packers. They're going to go get help for number 15. But Juju's still going to be the most experienced receiver there besides Travis Kelce. So I still think Juju is that wide receiver one. A top 12 finish is kind of iffy because like at the end of the day, Travis Kelce is going to see the most work there. And then obviously Andy Reid just designs those offenses that random guys are going to just be spazzing every single week. But Juju, over 100 targets, I think it's likely. He's 100% healthy. He's not playing with Big Ben. He's not playing with Mitchell Trubisky. He's playing with arguably the best quarterback in the game right now and probably going to go down as one of the best quarterbacks ever in Patrick Mahomes. So that's why I'm saying sell Juju, because in that type of offense, in the Patrick Mahomes offense, you could get so much for it. It's literally the Kansas City Chiefs offense. They've been the NFL standard for the past 3-4 years. So that's why I would say sell Juju. But if you want to keep the same thing with Allen Robinson, if you're in a startup draft and you could get them at the 10th, 11th round, I got Allen Robinson in the 10th round. That's fine. But if you already have him on your roster before any of this free agency stuff happened, if you did startups last year, try to sell them. You could easily get a first round pick for Juju. He's 25 years old, and there's always those guys. They're gullible and they're gonna bite right away. They don't have patience. Patience is key to life, but a lot of dynasty managers don't have patience, and they're like, oh my god, Juju's on Kansas City, blah 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 blah. They're gonna go get that guy, go get a first round pick right now, and then next week when the Chiefs draft two wide receivers, you're just smiling because that's it. You got rid of it. You dodged a bullet.
Would you say that you would try to get similar value for A-Rob as in Juju, or do you think you could get more for Juju since he's younger?
It's kind of hard because that's a tough one because Juju is 25, Robinson's 28, but I would say Robinson's going to get more of a workload because I think it's a given. I think it's 100. It's not even nothing's 100% given, but I truly believe like the Chiefs are going to take a receiver. If it's not one receiver, they're going to take two receivers in the first round, more so just one receiver. And like I said, Juju's still going to be the more experienced receiver, but you're just going to have to lower your expectations a bit. It's not going to be no 120, 130 targets. I still think Juju's going to be eating, but Robinson in that offense, it's him and Cooper Kupp, that's it. Van Jefferson gets no type of love. Tyler Higbee, he has those weeks here and there. I would give Robinson the slight edge in a little more value you could get just because of that high-powered offense, and you're not knowing what the Chiefs are going to do as opposed to the Rams, who have no first-round pick till about 2045. So it's like, yeah, Robinson, I would say he has more value.
No, I agree. And, yeah, I agree with a lot of that with Juju because, too, I think he only signed a one-year deal, so who knows, if he has a big year, he might not be on Kansas City, and then you don't know what the situation mm-hmm. is. So try to get as much as you can for him then. So now I want to talk about a couple running backs that I feel like there's kind of mixed feelings, about that. So Chase Edmonds and Elijah Mitchell. Chase Edmonds. I really like Chase Edmonds, and I didn't really understand why Arizona never used him more. I think, you need another running back probably with him because of his size, but I think he can carry the load more than Arizona ever gave him. So how do you feel about him with Miami? I know I believe you wrote an article kind of talking about this too.
Yeah, I did. I wrote an article, I believe, three sleepers to finish as an RB1. It might sound kind of wild, but Chase Edmonds was one of these guys I had in there. Speaking of Raheem Mostert, just to dwindle away from Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, these are what the notes I wrote. He entered the league in 2015. That same year, he was on three different teams. The year after, he was on two different teams. Since then, he was been on San Fran since 2017. He's played only 55% of the games. He has started only 9 games. Chase Edmonds started 11 games last year. Raheem Mostert, I love him. He can't stay healthy. You can't, if you're not on the field, why do I need you on my team? So Raheem Mostert, I feel like he's just there because, he's super fast. He's fast as hell, and he's going to change that pace. But besides him, it's the Chase Edmonds show and the Myles Gaskin show. They're both twins. They literally kind of play similar. But Chase Edmonds, he's only 26 years old. I feel like they signed him for a reason to that contract, and Raheem Mostert's just insurance. But I'm not scared. I'm not worried about Raheem Mostert or Myles Gaskin's taking anything away from Chase Edmonds. Mike McDaniel's trying to bring that San Fran offense over to South Florida, and I like it. I think Edmonds, that's just me being spicy and having a hot take, being an RB1, but I think he could for sure be a top 20 running back, especially in this type of system. McDaniel's going to make it easy for Tua to get it to his playmakers. Edmonds is one of those playmakers. But yeah, I'm not scared of Mostert taking any type of, the man can't stay healthy, so I'm not worried about it. I really do like Edmonds this season.
Yeah,
especially when you're finding him too in dynasty leagues, you're finding him in the 15th, 16th round.
Yeah, definitely. I've always liked Chase Edmonds as a player. I like that Miami spot. There's a couple worries I have. Obviously, if they get another running back, I think Edmonds will still have a role, but obviously, that could limit his ceiling. And since they got Tyreek, so they have Tyreek and Waddle, so I have to imagine they're going to use some of those kind of like Debo type plays with the receivers. For sure. So that part kind of worries me with Edmonds, because if they weren't there, that could be Edmonds' role too. Mm-hmm. So, it's kind of I'm a little uneasy about all those options because I don't know how they're all going to work together, because they all kind of can be used similarly in the offense. So that's my really only main worry about Edmonds, is just how many touches he will get with so many, fast electric players on that offense to feed the ball.
I think he'll probably be like a flex at best, and then he could literally, if he goes crazy at the running back position and he gets touchdowns and he gets a ton of PPR, like those PPR catches are gonna come into handy. He had, I believe, over 50 targets this year. The year before that, 67 targets. So he's shown that he can catch out the backfield, and he will catch out the backfield. Tua is not no Justin Herbert. They're gonna make it as easy as possible for Tua to get that ball off and have Edmonds, Waddle, and Tyreek take it to the house, do something, and take a 5-yard dump off for 45 yards. You get me?
No, I definitely agree. I just think that might limit Edmonds' ceiling a little bit, just with how they use all those weapons. And obviously, depending on, if they get a running back in the draft. But that's Elijah Mitchell. I think my only worry with Elijah Mitchell for the 49ers, it's been shown, if any of those San Francisco running backs under Shanahan like get hurt at all, and then the Nets player like does well, like he kind of just like switches to that Nets back. So that's my only really worry about Elijah Mitchell. Maybe Elijah Mitchell is different. He finally found the guy he really likes. But I would imagine Trey Sermon's going to see at least a little more time. So you know, at some point. But what's your kind of thoughts on Elijah Mitchell and how he might share that backfield in San Francisco?
I think Elijah Mitchell, it's like you said, I think he found his guy. I think Elijah Mitchell is the truth. He played in only 12 games because he was dealing with injury, which usually always happens with San Fran running backs because they run the ball so damn much. 12 games played, and he was eighth in rush yards, right in front of King Henry. It shows you how good King Henry is because he played in 8 games, and he was right behind Elijah Mitchell. But yeah, Elijah Mitchell, 12 games played, eighth in rush yards. He was tied second for most 100-yard rush yard games. He's great. He had a couple, I believe he had like 3 or 4 20-point games. He just, you know, as you're running the ball that much, you're going to be getting banged up. And, you know, injuries happen, especially when it comes to running backs. A 350-pound offensive lineman lands on your ankle and you're out for a month. That's just how it is playing the game. But I really do, like you said, he found his guy. Shanahan's going to continue to run the ball this upcoming season. Trey Sermon, he could get, he'll get some touches, but there's a reason Mitchell took his spot and Trey Sermon was a rookie. So, like, how good. Trey Sermon could be good, but obviously Mitchell is the better running back. But it's like you said, he found this guy, and I'm high on Mitchell. I found him in the 7th round in my latest dynasty draft. And in redraft leagues, I'll for sure be keep drafting him, because one thing I've learned with dynasty and just from the community, running backs, they just come and go. And I, especially in redraft leagues, I try to go running back, running back, running back, and then go receivers. It's usually worked for me, but I think this upcoming redraft season, I'm going to do different strategies, and I'm going to go running back. And then not take a second running back until it's the Mitchells and the Fournettes and the James Conners. Just because I'm trying, there's so much value at receivers. There's so many receivers, and they're just getting better and better and better. But yeah, going to Mitchell, I think if I'm not mistaken, he was that other guy in the article. It was him, AJ Dillon, and Chase Edmonds in my running backs to finish as RB1. I really do think Mitchell has that potential. 12 games played, 8th in rushing yards. So imagine he played 5 more of those games. He would have been top 5 in rushing yards. And in touchdowns as well.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I would like to add with Elijah Mitchell is just, especially if they end up starting Trey Lance, take away some of those rushing touchdowns, and they still have Jeff Wilson, and they really like to play him around the goal line. So that would be the only thing that might limit him from being that running back one, just because if he doesn't, you know, necessarily get all the touchdowns that and they spread that out. But I do agree. He's looked the best, you know, for the long stretch, because even you were talking about with Mostert, he had that good playoff run, but he couldn't stay healthy. So, you know, with Mitchell playing those 12 games, that's the most in the Shanahan 49ers era, at least, where a running back has been consistent. So, yeah, so I agree on that. So now we always have a fun type topic, so we'll get to that. Now, and you know how I even came up with this? I was looking at your Twitter page, and you said something about the movie Sonic. So this
I'm moving a lot because I'm putting my laptop to charge. But Sonic was, oh my god, Sonic was amazing.
So that's what made me think of this. So our topic is our top 3 cartoon sidekicks. So we don't have to do it in any particular order. So I'll go with my first one, and then we can go back and forth. No problem. So my first one is Yoshi from Mario, especially in the video games. I loved with Yoshi. It added a total different thing to, you know, where you could eat the fireballs and spit them back out. And I just always love Yoshi in Mario Kart, all of that. So he's really high on my list. I love Yoshi. So he's my first cartoon sidekick.
Oh, we're going in order from number 1 to 3?
No, you can just say whatever.
Oh, okay. So one of the 3 that I have, I don't know if you watch anime. His name is Deku from My Hero Academia. So this guy. So basically My Hero Academia, it's this Japanese anime, but it's like superheroes, but it's the story behind it. It's just like, you know, anime gets so much more deeper and serious. Like the story behind My Hero Academia is just beautiful, and how like Deku is just like, In this world, everyone has a quirk, which basically means you're born with a power. Deku never had a power. So he meets this guy, All Might, who's the best hero, this and that. All Might's kind of like Deku. He didn't have a power, but he got this quirk from his mentor, which is called One for All, which is just like, bro, super strength, all this stuff. But Deku, basically, he's a kid, but he's growing up, and he's like sidekicks with he's like basically the sidekick of All Might until All Might just like gets older and he can't be a superhero anymore. But like the story that Deku's just progressing, and this is like a teenager, and he's like, he's the type of guy, he's the type of kid that he'll like, he'll land on a grenade to save everyone. It's just like the story of everything. And it's just like, I guess because it's just Japanese anime, it's just so much emotional. And it's just like, that show is just, it's just something else, man.
Yeah, I've never seen that, but you know, I can tell you really enjoy it and like really into it. So that's cool.
I think that show has made me probably tear it up like 2-3 times. Just, it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful, like the way it's written. It's just, it's superheroes, so it's the basics, but it's just like the story behind it is just so much deeper.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So my second one is from Tiny Toons. For people who don't know, it's like Looney Tunes, just with the, you know, smaller characters or whatever. Yeah, kid version, kind of like their proteges. So mine is Plucky Duck. It's, you know, Daffy Duck's protege or whatever. I was good with Daffy Duck, but I like Tiny Toons a little bit better. I guess when I was younger, I like related, since they were like kids, you know, everything. The funny thing is that I like him because in real life, I'm deathly afraid of all birds. So, but like cartoon birds, like I like Donald Duck too, but it's just weird, like real birds, they just like terrify me. So, but yeah,
birds are evil. Birds are evil.
I know.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're controlled by the government, like the pigeons.
I tell people, like when they show like videos of like birds attacking people, I'm like, that's why I don't mess with them. Like people think they're all like cute and everything, but they'll attack
you. There's giant ass like geese that live like by the lakes in my house. In high school, like my friend would walk his husky, and husky's a big ass dog. Yo, these birds would try to run up on the dog and fight it. And it's like, they just start making these noises. They're like, I've seen them bully one geese just because he was a different like shade of color. Like these like birds are evil.
They are. They are definitely evil. But anyway, back to Tiny Toons. I like him. He's kind of like funny, and he tries to get over on like other people, and then like kind of comes back to kind of like karma, kind of like kicks him in the ass and everything. And as a cartoon, I think it's funny. Like he tries to do something, then he'll get hit and his like beak will get spun around, you know, like cartoons do. So I like Plucky. So that's my second.
Number two for me, someone that is dear and special to everyone's heart, Mr. Patrick Starr. You can't get Patrick Starr with SpongeBob. He is the most dumbest person that's ever been created in cartoons, but he's also the bestest best friend you can ask for. He's always there for SpongeBob, and it's like SpongeBob is very smart because it's like they put on these like adult jokes that you don't get until you get older and you see it on Twitter. And it's like Patrick's a good person, he's just an idiot, but he's always there for SpongeBob. He's always helping SpongeBob out. He's always trying to like just be there for SpongeBob, but it's just he's so dumb that he does it in these ways that it's like, bro, what are you doing? But at the end of the day, he means good. And I love Patrick. SpongeBob's timeless. To this day, you can watch it. To this day, you can watch it and laugh. I think every day someone out there is making a SpongeBob reference and a joke, because that show is just timeless. It's been out since 99 and it's still going on.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I remember I have a brother that's 7 years younger. So when I was probably in high school, he was watching it all the time, and I would enjoy watching it. And it's funny, you know, it's stupid, but it's funny and everything. So yeah, that's a definite great one. I'm actually going to go different from what I put on the show sheet. I'm going to go Brian Griffin from Family Guy because I love drinking. I love dogs. So I've always thought like it'd be so cool if you could like if your dog could talk to you and go out drinking with you. I think like, you know, they have storylines around Brian and Peter. So and I personally love Family Guy. My wife hates the show. So when I watch it, she like usually leaves and goes to the other room. But yeah, I love Family Guy, and so Brian Griffin there for me.
No, I love Family Guy for sure. I'm a Family Guy over South Park, over American Dad, all that stuff. If my dog could talk to me, I don't think I would have any friends. If my dog could talk to me, yo, that's it. You and I, let's go. Where are we going? We can do whatever we want together, bro. But my third and final sidekick, to this day, I still play this game, and it's Pikachu. I still play Pokemon to this day. When the next generation comes out, Team Fuecoco, if you know that, then you know that. Pikachu is the best. This little rat creature is so powerful. He's taken down a Dragonite before. He's been there for Ash. He's watched Ash die in the movies, come back for life. Ash tried to evolve him to a Raichu to beat this Lieutenant Surge's Raichu. Pikachu smacked it out of his hand. And this is from like one of the first episodes. Smacked it out of his hand. I'm good. I'm Pikachu. I don't need to become a Raichu. I am that lethal. And to this day, Pikachu is still that lethal. You could go up to level 100 in Pokemon. I'm pretty sure Pikachu's like level 1,000. This man is timeless. He's been there with Ash since the very first episode, and he has not gone away. He helped Ash when all the Sparrow were attacking him back in the very first Pokemon episode. Pikachu's what you want in a best friend. Like, and in a sidekick and a best friend and someone who's always going to be there for you, there's no better sidekick than Pikachu from Pokemon.
I like it. So those are our three cartoon sidekicks, and now we'll go to what we're going to talk in the show with. Just talking about the rookie quarterbacks from last year, their second year quarterbacks this year. I think most of them probably disappointed in what we thought. They were going to do too much last year. So mm-hmm. First, I'll say, who do you think will have the best second year of those quarterbacks?
Second year quarterbacks on. I mean, one of the easy answers is Trey Lance. If he ever gets on the field, Jimmy G's still on the roster, so I don't even know what to think about that. I drafted him in a startup in the first round, and I just forgot about it because I'm kind of worried that they're going to keep Jimmy G. Or maybe they're just waiting to draft night. We never know. We'll see what happens next week. But the best, I would say, if everything pans out, Trevor, Mel Kiper's book has four quarterbacks. John Elway. Where is he? The Hall of Fame. Peyton Manning, where is he? The Hall of Fame. If he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, he's going there. Andrew Luck, on Everything I Love. Andrew Luck was supposed to be a great. He was. Colts didn't protect him. Let me take care of my mental health. Let's go back to the farm instead of catching CTE and not being able to see my kids grow up and my grandkids grow up. So at the end of the day, he did it for himself, and that's what you got to do. But Andrew Luck, he was going to smack. The fourth guy on that book is the luscious blonde hair boy wonder Trevor Lawrence. He played with Urban Meyer. I'm a Gators fan. Thank you for those championships, but you don't know how to coach in the NFL because you're just trash in the NFL. It's simple to see. You kick the kicker. Everything that happened this past season, it wasn't Trevor's fault. Trevor is Trevor, bro. He came in freshman year in Clemson and beat Alabama. He was a number one pick, projected number one pick since then. He could have gone out when he was 19, when he was 20, and he would have been the number one overall pick. And now he has a guy named Doug Peterson who made Nick Foles look crazy. And I don't think Doug Peterson is a bad coach. He's getting his running back and Travis Etienne back. Christian Kirk is no scrub. He's not no top tier 4 years at 78 mil type guy, but he's not no scrub. And like I said, Trevor's a great quarterback, and he's going to show it this year. If it's not Trevor, it's Justin Fields. If Trey Lance actually is named the starting quarterback, then everything I'm saying might go out the window. But as of right now, give me Trevor Lawrence. Give me the Jacksonville Jaguars to win that division. I know their odds are probably nice, so why not just take a chance, you know, with the best odds at the Jaguars? That team is going to – if that team pans out and they stay healthy, I wouldn't be surprised if Trevor's a QB1 and Travis Etienne is a RB1 in fantasy.
Oh, man, you're teasing me with that because I don't know if you know this, but I live in Jacksonville. So
no, I'm telling you, bro, that team, like,
we've seen so much bad things. We can't be hopeful anymore because we were hopeful last year. And it kind of
– what my co-host and I always talk about on my own podcast, if you beat Alabama in college, you're going to be great. Cam Newton beat him in college. He was a great quarterback. He was, like, you get me? He was one of the best rushing quarterbacks ever. Deshaun Watson – now, Trevor Lawrence, come on, man. Like, Trevor Lawrence is supposed to be that guy. Like, he was set up for failure. Were people giving Peyton stuff when he threw 33 interceptions his rookie season or 28 or something like that? Like, he's going to prove a lot of people wrong this year. I feel like people are too quick to give up on people. Same thing with basketball. A perfect example, after Jason Tatum's second year, people were calling him a bust this, a bust that. And I'm, bro, this boy's not nasty. And now, look. People are saying he's a top 10 player in the NBA. Like, everyone thinks, like, I don't know if you watch basketball like that. Donovan Mitchell, his rookie season, dropped 20 points a game, went to the playoffs, eliminated Russell Westbrook and Paul George and the Thunder. And people think, oh my God, so now these rookies have to come in and do this, do that. It's the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. Oh my God, these quarterbacks are starting their first year. They need to throw for 5,050 touchdowns. If not, they're a bust. Like, no, everybody is different. Everybody takes time to progress. Look at Tatum now. When Trevor Lawrence goes crazy this upcoming season, I can't wait for everyone that literally talked crap about him. Oh my God, Trevor's top five, this and that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I hope so. I think they need more wide receivers. I think if I had to go who's going to have the best second year, I'll go first, Fields. Second, it's kind of like you said, if Lance gets to start. And then And then the next one is, who do you think will have the best overall career? I'm going to go with Trevor with the best overall career. I think it's going to be better this coming year. I just don't think it's necessarily going to be as high as he can be. I think if they can get everything right, I think Trevor can have that high ceiling because he's way more mobile than people think he is. You know, he saw in that playoff game a couple years ago against Ohio State when he ran for like that 50-yard touchdown. He has the wheels and he can throw. And, you know, it seems like he's a hard worker. You know, he's in everything and he seems like a smart guy. So I think he's going to have the best career overall. Who do you think of these of the five quarterbacks that win the first round is going to have the best overall career?
Going back to the better second season, I think a sleeper is Davis Mills. I think we just, like, all write him off. But he had a decent year, and if they get, like, a Breece Hall to, like, ease the load off him, he could have a really good second year. But overall career, I've been talking about him for 5 minutes straight. I can't stop. Trevor Lawrence. Like, if it's not Justin Fields, it's Trevor Lawrence. I'm not including Trey Lance in any of this. Like I said, he just hasn't gotten that starting job. Maybe there's something they don't like about him. Maybe he isn't that good, and maybe it was just a hype. Just all the hype got to it. You never know. But yeah, Trevor, he was set up for failure. You can't really do anything when you can't even pick your coach. And it's like, bro, I'm that good. I'm going to get taken over here. And look, he just kicked a kicker. This is my NFL head coach kicking kickers. But yeah, give me Trevor Lawrence, like, all day, every day. Give me Trevor. And if it's not Trevor, it's Justin Fields. One of those two.
Yeah. More and so then the last one is, who do you think is going to be best overall for fantasy? I think that might be Trey Lance, just because if he can start because of his running ability and that offense that Shanahan runs, a perfect match. Whereas I think Fields and Trevor are going to be better, like, NFL quarterbacks. But yeah, for fantasy wise, with his running, I would say Trey Lance would be my guess for that if he can start. Like you said, I don't know what's going on with Jimmy G. I'm gonna be in trouble in a couple of my dynasty leagues if Trey Lance doesn't start this year, because I was kind of banking on it. I've made some trades quarterback wise because I expected Trey Lance to kind of hop into that, you know, starting quarterback role. So you know, I would think for all trading all that away and seeing Jimmy G in the playoffs kind of, you know, not being able to perform, you know, in that game against the Rams, I would think they would want to get Trey Lance in there. But who knows what they do with Jimmy G.
That's why I feel like they're just holding Jimmy G to, like, maybe, like, get one of these teams to bite, and maybe they get, like, a first-round pick for Jimmy. Because it's like, you saw him in the Super Bowl, overthrew Emmanuel Sanders. You guys don't have a ring because of Jimmy G, not because of Patrick Mahomes, because of Jimmy Garoppolo folding. Then you see him this year in the NFC Championship game fold once again. And it's like, after that, I would have been like, if I was John Lynch, I'm like, okay, when we could trade people, he's gone. I would have shipped him straight to Carolina, straight to anywhere that could give me anything. Like, I don't even need a first round pick. Just get him off my team. You took Trey Lance. You traded up to pick number 3 for a reason. So I feel like if you trade up that high, that guy should already be starting. That's just how I look.
No. Yeah, I definitely agree. I agree with that. So yeah, so that's you know, talking about the second year QBs. I will say I'm not a big Zach Wilson fan. But if I could see him, you know, if he can get all the things together, if they can bring in another receiver to go with Elijah Moore, I could see him having, you know, improvement. But I still would take him probably near the back. I think Matt Jones has the lowest ceiling. You know, he's going to be what he is, you know, a good quarterback.
Like, you know, I'm not saying he's a system quarterback, but he's just a guy that can make the right throws, make those short throws, make those intermediate throws. And it's like, you're with Bill Belichick. He's going to make it as easy as possible. And I just want to apologize to Zach Wilson because I completely forgot about him. I'm high on him. It's not like crazy high, but I think, like, the man got a cannon. He could run the ball. Elijah Moore, I'm high on him. And, you know, if they trade for AJ Brown, all this drama, taking Tennessee out his bio, this and that, Zach Wilson has a cannon. I have high hopes for Zach Wilson. Maybe also because I put in an article, he's going to be a QB1. But, you know, I got to get spicy with this fantasy community. So when these hit, I could just come back and be like, hey, I told you guys.
Hey, I like those takes. I had some spicy takes last year. One didn't work out. I said Terry McLaurin was going to be a top 5 wide receiver. That didn't work out. I said Kenny Gainwell was going to be a top 24 running back. I think he could have been if they would just give him the ball. But, yeah, I like some of those spicy takes, and we'll have to – get you on maybe closer to this season to give us.
I don't think the Eagles backfield is bad. I just think Jalen Hurts is there, so it's like they can't really they can't show their full potential. But yeah, spicy takes. I love spicy. I'll for sure be back here to talk about spicy takes. I already got a couple. I already have them all in my notes, ready to go.
Okay, yeah, that sounds great. So that'll do it for the show this week. Thank you, Brandon, for coming on. And tell people again where they can find you.
You know, as always, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, MBF_Clo. And then as well, you know, IDPguys.org and Fansided for NFN Zone and Sir Charles in Charge. That's where my writing is all the time. MBF_podcast is my own podcast. Usually go live on Tuesdays. So check me out later today. But yeah, other than that, be safe, guys, as always.
Yeah, so thanks again. And just a little, preview next Wednesday before the draft, we'll be doing some draft talk. I don't necessarily know who's going to be on here with me, but we'll talk about that, to probably talk about some of the mocks that we've done for the show. And so catch us next week, and thanks for tuning in.